Welcome to the first ever Echo podcast.
Yeah.
And on my left, I have our wonderful guest, Alexis. She is,
amazing. On?
She is a queen. She is everything you can imagine. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Alexis.
Very excited.
I'm so excited to talk about today's conversations.
Yeah.
And just kind of just jump in right into it. You might be wondering, why are you starting a student podcast? You know, what's up with that? For us, it's to encourage students to deepen their faith, serve others, and build lasting relationships that will echo for eternity. Our heart behind this is to show God always, to show you guys real things that are going on in culture, to let you guys know that you guys can be unashamed in your faith no matter what's going on in our topics, in our conversations. And it's just a beautiful thing, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see where God takes this. I'm excited to see the journey. Students, be prepared. We're jumping into some deep stuff. We're going to have some cool special guests, and I'm just super excited to see how God uses this in our conversations. Yeah. But first off, Alexis, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah. So I am 23 years old. I am on staff at Genesis, so I get to do all the events. I get to do Ignite stuff. Nice. And all that stuff, help lead a small group. Nice. But I'm getting married, so when this airs, I'm actually getting married the day after.
Nice.
So I will be a newly married woman.
Woo.
But yeah, so that's a little bit about me. I graduated from Valencia with a degree in business and organizational leadership. So yeah, it's just a snapshot.
All right, tell us like one interesting fact that no one knows. Like, what's something exciting? Like, obviously you're getting married, but like,
I feel like I'm kind of lame.
No, you're not lame.
I feel like I don't have a life.
No,
there's
listen.
Not much fun about me. Oh my
god. You
gotta
have one interesting fact.
Oh gosh. Maybe I can think about something and then I'll tell you at the end.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm sorry, I'm not very interesting.
Listen, Alexis, she's very interesting. She has a lot of things going on. She's married, or she's getting married,
yeah,
to her wonderful fiance, Hunter.
Yep.
We're super excited about that and super excited to see what God does in their marriage. She is the glue to all things that run around here.
Too much credit.
Especially with our high school hangout. Shout out high school hangout. And so we're just super excited to have her on today's episode. I want to jump right into the first topic, kind of, you know, why am I here? And kind of like our purpose in this chaotic world. I would say, you know, we live in a world today where it's super chaotic. A lot of things are going on. The music industry is, you know, pushing more boundaries and pushing darker content more than ever. Mm-hmm. You have movies that are just getting darker as well.
Yeah.
And their moral themes are just pure evil. You got political division. Students are dealing with mental health more than ever. There's just a lot of cultural confusion going on in our world. You know, questions about, you know, who we are, our identity, you know, maybe truth in the word, truth in what God's saying, because, you know, so much things are happening. But I want to ask you, you know, why do you think that culture is pushing more of an agenda to be darker? And, you know, off of that, why do you think it's harder to be a Christian for students in today's age, or more in fact, you know, why is it harder for students to be unashamed in their faith today more than ever because of, you know, just all the chaos that's going on in this world?
So I will say, I think we notice in a world that a lot more people are running away from Jesus and running away from the truth. But I would say, I think it's hard for students to run closer because, I heard this before. It's like a silent, what is it? Sorry, brain farting. Oh, it was the loud minority. And yeah. So we live in a society where, surprisingly, there are a lot more people that would agree with the same truth, but they're scared to speak out because of the loud minority. And
yeah,
that's different. So like everyone who's proclaiming like all this, everything that's completely away from the truth, all those people are just loud.
Yeah.
And so that makes it really scary for like even us our age to speak up because of how loud the minority is. But there is a silent majority. And so it's just once you get that perspective of like, okay, there's not many of them, but they're just loud. If we know, okay, there's a lot of us who believe the truth, we just have to stand firm and speak our truth, then it encourages others to speak up and then we become the loud majority.
I love that. I was watching this podcast the other day and, you know, we try to live our lives like Hollywood.
Yeah.
And Hollywood can push their agenda as much as possible, but Hollywood also is the most broken place in America. And so why would we want to live our lives like Hollywood, where the divorce rate is super high, where mental health is a real issue for, you know, adults and students? And, you know, I think it's hard for students to be unashamed because, like you said, they see that loud minority. But I also think that in today's age, we have so much at our fingertips that we can be accessible to. And I think that, you know, the world's getting darker because Satan's attacking more than ever. He has more tools, you know, more than ever. And of course it's going to be hard. Of course, you know, it's going to be hard when everybody wants to be one thing, but, you know, like the silent majority, you know, they're silent. Yes. And I think that now is the time where it's time not to be silent. And it brings me back to Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. It's kind of like stay grounded in God's word rather than adopting worldly standards.
Yeah.
And so for us to, you know, not be like the minority, not be like Hollywood, but to stay true in the word, stay true into a godly community, it's going to help us be more unashamed. I feel like if you see a lot of people doing one thing, you're going to try to be like that one thing. So it's time for us to kind of, you know,
stand. And mind you, it's easier said than done. Like if we think back to being in high school, for sure, it's easier to be like, kind of follow along, see, but then you like know your limits. But for some people, they don't know their limits and they kind of go with the flow. But it's really important to kind of attack it now and start now at a young age. And then it makes it so much easier because it gets even harder when you leave school.
Yeah, when I was a student, I was kind of like, I would have moments in the right crowds where I'd be like, yo, I'm on fire for Jesus. I love Jesus. Mm-hmm. But then other crowds, I'd be like, yeah, I go to church, like that's what I do.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be loud about
it.
And I think that's where it comes to like finding that, you know, community of people that you can be loud about it with. And I think once you're loud, other communities will see that and they're going to want to join on top of that. It brings me to kind of our key verse for today, Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So even like when life feels upside down, God is still writing, you know, our redemptive story. And so how do you even think to begin about purpose when it feels like we're just trying to survive socially in this crazy chaotic world where, you know, like Genesis 50:20 says, you know, they're going to intend to harm you. They're going to intend to put you out, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done. God always is going to show himself through a chaotic world. So like, you know, how do we begin about, hey, what's God's purpose for our life? What's God's will for my life when agendas are being pushed, when we live in this chaotic world of, you know, just craziness, you know?
Yeah. Even in that verse, it says it, I mean, I know you already said it, but what you intended for harm, God intended for good, and now being done, the saving of many lives. If you switch the perspective of what's happening now is to actually share a greater purpose. So like everything that's happening in the world, I like to see it like this, where, so we know during like biblical times, they were going through things in their time, real places, real people, real time, like going through things during that time. This is our real people, real place, real time. Like if you think about years from now, what would they write about what's happening now? And so I think there's a correlation between what was happening then and what's happening now, just in our own modern day time. And so if you sit back and realize, okay, literally what's happening now is similar to what was happening back then, I know something better and I know something greater is coming out of it. And so, I mean, I think that's kind of helps lead us into the person we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah.
And that's Joseph. His whole story was trial, chaos after chaos, and talk about someone whose purpose was shown later on, but he didn't even realize it. He just stood faithful. So,
yeah, no, I think, like you said, it's kind of scary to think like people are going to judge us off of our times like we judge other people off of their times. And I think to find your purpose in the chaotic world, you got to first, you know, see that and just recognize that this world is chaotic. And that's the world we live in today. Like, nothing's going to change about that. It's not going to get any more peaceful. We might have some peaceful times, but if you can see, at least from, you know, me being a student and recognizing what's going on, like, I feel like it's getting crazier and crazier. And that's what the Bible says. But I think you got to see the world is chaotic because of sin.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, a lot of people don't know who Jesus is, and that is why this world is crazy. But I think the number one thing you got to do when you, you know, realize that is first go to scripture and, you know, what does the Bible say about these things? You know, what does the Bible say about crazy end times? And I'm not saying, I think we're always in the end times, because whenever Jesus died, we're in the end times. He's coming sooner than, you know, later. So what does he say about when things go get crazy? What is different, you know, stories in the Bible, which we're going to jump into today, of like how things were crazy for somebody else's lives, but how did God use them? And that's where we're going to jump into Joseph in a second. But then just, I think for us is just to be obedient. Be obedient to scripture, be obedient to his calling, and be obedient in the small things, because the small things will lead on to the big things. And then that's what will light a fire for other people to see, and be that loud minority, hopefully to be a majority in Jesus' name. But I want to jump into, like you said, a crazy world. We're jumping into this story of Joseph. I don't think there's a crazier story of, you know, how chaotic someone's life was. There's a lot. There's a lot. But how chaotic someone's life was, but God still used it for good. If you look at the story of Joseph, you know, just the overview of Joseph's life, it's a lot of chapters, so we're not going to read through all the chapters today.
Yes.
But he was favored by his father, the coat of many colors. But then, you know, later on, because he was, you know, favored by his father, his brothers got jealous. His brothers didn't like that he was number one.
Yep.
He was the number one in the family. And so his brothers betrayed him. They sell him, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Kimberly. Like, can you imagine?
They sold him and then killed an animal, dipped his coat in the blood and said, oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
So for the longest time, the dad thought that his kid was dead, but they sold him.
Bro, it's like when, you know, when I was little.
What? When you were little?
Not little, but like in college, my roommate had a betta fish, and so it died. But I didn't know how to tell him, so I flushed it down the toilet.
Oh my gosh.
But kind of like left like a little fin in the water, and I said it jumped out. So.
Oh.
So I. It's
hopefully
kinda,
he's not listening now. Yeah, if you didn't tell him already.
Kenny, I'm sorry. No, but he was betrayed by his brothers.
Yeah.
He was thrown into a pit, sold in slavery, falsely accused, and imprisoned. And then he was, you know, falsely accused because Potiphar's wife
tried to seduce him. But he said no.
He said no in Jesus' name.
And then she framed him basically and said he basically tried to do stuff with her and this is crazy. And then he ended up in prison because he was falsely accused.
And then he ends up in prison. And then he starts interpreting dreams in prisons, and is initially forgotten. And then Pharaoh's dreams led to him coming back to Pharaoh and interpreting Pharaoh's dreams.
Yeah.
And then Pharaoh loves him. And I love this verse in the Bible. It's Genesis 41. 37. It says, I mean, we can read through this real quick because this is kind of what leads to the end of Joseph's story. But the proposal pleased Pharaoh and all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this and whom is the spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you all over the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and put on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments and fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is like just the capital like exclamation mark on Joseph's story. To see how chaotic his life was, to see from the very beginning he was favored, you know, by his father. Then he was betrayed.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I feel like you can have any, you could be mad at God.
At this point, you can be like, why am I even trying anymore?
Why am I trying? I don't want to, God, why are you allowing this to happen? And then God speaks to him. He's interpreting dreams. And then he interprets Pharaoh's dreams and then becomes second in charge of all, pretty much the big, it would be like America. Like he's like the vice president of America. Yeah. Like he's not president, but he's vice president and he has a lot of power. Yeah. He can say a lot of things. And then ultimately his family comes back because of famine and he gets to kind of like provide for his brothers during that famine and kind of like be there for him. That is just so crazy.
I think, when you read this story, Joseph had like favor, but he was faithful. And so even though everything that was happening to him, he still remained faithful. That's why he got favor. So in 39:21, while he was in prison, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor with the prison warden. So he had favor. God gave him favor. And Joseph was like sitting in prison and is like, yo, I'm here. I'm just out here trusting God. And God granted him favor, which led Joseph as he was interpreting the dreams. Then I believe the warden told Pharaoh, hey, there's this man in prison who's interpreting dreams. That later led to him being able to serve his family and forgive his family and all that stuff. So
I think the biggest thing about Joseph's story is that he knew who God was.
Yes.
And he knew his, you know, internal perspective and, you know, that this world is chaotic and it's, you know, but it's just temporary and that your ultimate purpose has eternal significance.
Yeah.
And he knew that. He knew that God was in control the whole time. And, you know, how many times can we sit back in our own lives? And I remember as a student, like, at least for me, I wanted to play college basketball. That was my main thing. I wanted to be in college, play basketball. I played basketball my whole life. And I had moments where it didn't look like that. And for me, at that point, that was my, like, dark season of, like, God, what are you doing in my life? And, you know, I look back at now, like, it's so silly because it's just something that God, you know, could open a door, shut a door, and he still has more plans for my life. But at that point, that was the biggest thing in my life.
Yeah.
And so I just remember, like, God, what are you doing in my life? I had times where, like, I really doubted and, like, didn't want anything with God. But the story of Joseph puts that in perspective, like, when you don't know what's happening and you don't know what God's purpose is for your life, students, you might be, you know, wondering, seniors, you might be wondering, like, hey, where am I going to college next year? You know, if you play sports, God, why isn't that certain offer come to the table?
Yeah.
You know, why hasn't this scholarship for academics come to the table? And you're just, like, confused and upset and you're just, like, what is God's purpose in my life? I think it's always just to keep on, you know, keeping your eye on him at all times, keeping him in the front of whatever you do, reading scripture, reading things like this, because God still works in crazy, miraculous ways.
One of the things your dad said in one of the messages that he spoke, I can't remember, I think it was last year, but it's always stood with me, and you can kind of relate it to this story because Joseph was faithful and remained faithful and God gave favor. So I think your dad was talking about like favorites. And so one of the things he said was God doesn't have favorites, but he gives favorites. He gives favor to those who are faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this story, Joseph could have been one of the many people to be like, I'm done. I give it a quit. God, I was faithful. Are you kidding me? One after the other after the other. But he remained faithful through every trial and God granted him favor, which led him into second command. And I think living in this world, there's so many things going on for us. And it's hard to see it in the moment. But I mean, when you read scriptures, you know, okay, God has something better coming out of things. And so if you just remain faithful, then you know that whatever is going on in your life, God will turn it for good and give you you'll have favor.
Yeah, that faithfulness is big. You know, mm-hmm. I have a good friend. He has a good amount of followers on social mm-hmm. media, very well known. And his one of his tweets that he tweeted out one day, it kind of stuck to me forever was, you know, I'd rather be faithful than famous. And in his world, he could be really famous right now, mm-hmm. but he's trusting what God's doing in his life. He's trusting in God's purpose for his life. And that's a different route than what the world wants.
Yeah.
And how many times can we look at, you know, what the world wants you to be, but what God wants you to be? And how can we be faithful? Because overall, to be obedient and what God wants you to be will be more fruitful than what the world wants you to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you put that in perspective and you live by that, God's going to start to show himself more in your life. And then he's going to show, you know, himself more in the people that you're in their life with. You know, God puts people in your life for a reason, and you can either steward them the right way or steward them the wrong way. Joseph, you know, Pharaoh was in his life for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
God used Joseph to speak to Pharaoh. And, you know, like I read in that verse, you know, who else has God, you know, let me make sure I say it the right way. But he says, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at that and when you read that, you know, you're talking about Egypt and they have many gods.
Yeah.
And God's using Joseph to reach one of the most powerful men at that time, whose religion is so much different than what, you know, we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using Joseph because Joseph was obedient and stayed the course and stayed faithful to reach to one of the most powerful men.
Yeah.
And all and in command. And because of that, because he's obedient, God showed him favor. And it's not mm-hmm. always that because we're going to be obedient, God's going to make you second in charge. But there's small things that God will show you, that God will teach you, that will allow you just to keep on going. I think the small things for me, when God shows me small things, it keeps me going. Mm-hmm. And so whatever that is, but it starts with being faithful.
Yeah.
And so kind of want to jump into this, do you have a personal example? Do you have maybe an example from others where chaos and pain led to growth or maybe a blessing? Kind of like Joseph's story, what has God done in your life maybe that you can share where it was something crazy, chaotic, the world was pushing something, or maybe high school, students were pushing something, but, you know, that pain, that dark season led to growth or led to a blessing overall in disguise.
Yeah. So I'll start off by saying, obviously, we heard it yesterday, in staff meeting, but what your pain or chaos may not necessarily be somebody else's, and that's okay. I think a lot of times when we're evaluating and just seeing how God's working, it's like, well, I didn't necessarily have a drastic example or thing to share to somebody. But your worst day will be your worst day. My worst day will be my worst day, but it may not necessarily be Kobe's worst day.
Yeah.
So your biggest pain will be your biggest pain, but it won't be mine. You know what I mean? And so I think getting that out the way, knowing that just because our differences or the things we've gone through in life doesn't show that God can work, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. We talk about chaos. I may not have a crazy chaotic life or something like that for God to, but it's the little things like Kobe said. So, but yeah. So a personal example, where chaos or something led to growth. I will say this. So in high school, I'm going to relate in high school terms because we're talking to high school students,
high school or middle school.
Yeah. Or middle school. Hey, school, just school
students
is awful. Students
in general.
If you go to public school, I know. So all throughout high school, I think one of the greatest lessons I learned was just I would say I was part of the silent majority, obviously.
Yeah.
So I took a lot of classes for the program that I was in, and it was like debating and all that stuff. And that is where you find the loud minority, because boy, everybody in that class agrees everything that is far from the truth. And I sat in the back corner all the time. But I think that kind of taught me people's perspective, yeah, and the way people think. And so throughout high school, I would say from my freshman year to my junior year, I really only had one person that I can talk to that I know was like truthful, and agreed in a lot of the things that I agreed with. And that's when I say agree in a lot of things, it's more like biblical truth. So I had that one friend that we went to church and we talked about it all the time.
That's awesome.
But seeing how chaos in the other people around me's life was crumbling. So my senior year, I finally had a friend group, and it was so great. But when I tell you all of them were far from God, they were far from God. One of the, couple of them were LGBTQ. A lot of them were, you know, just having relations with guys, obviously outside of the scope of what God writes it. So like in marriage and all that stuff. And seeing all that, I saw hurt, I saw pain. So not necessarily did it happen to me, but I saw it to the people around me. Wow. And that only furthered why standing firm in God was important, because I was seeing what can happen to people when they open the door for Satan and allow the world to speak into their life. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess I could say that was an example of chaos or pain. It didn't necessarily happen to me. I mean, it sucked because everybody was doing everything together because they're following like the ways of the world. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, at home. Thank you. Like, oh, doing nothing by myself. Like I said, I am lame. I don't really have a life. So it kind of followed all throughout. But I saw the examples of what it does to other people, and it didn't necessarily affect me. But because I was friends with those people and I tried to slowly share little pockets of Jesus, it did hurt emotionally because I can see the broken and the pain. And I'm just like, if you just followed, like, if you just saw your worth, if you saw like how Jesus sees you and all that stuff, it would be so much better. But yeah, it's just crazy to see how the world has, how the chaos of world has a hold on people. And so that was how I learned and how I growed. So I hope that kind of answers.
Did you ever like, did that ever shift, like, because your friends were doing something different, or like maybe you weren't the most popular? Did that ever like make you doubt about, you know, God's word or God's will for your life, or, you know?
No, I mean, for my freshman year, I knew I had a call in ministry from my freshman year of high school. And so that already puts like a target, so to say.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh, the church chick, like every time, like, you know what I mean? Like, this girl loves Jesus. She doesn't understand anything that's going on. I'm not oblivious. I love the Lord, but I'm not oblivious.
Jesus freak.
Yeah, exactly. That's literally what it was. I was called sometimes. And so, no, I don't. I mean, repeat your question, but I don't.
It was just
think
more like, it could be a simple no. It's like, did God, did you ever like doubt?
No.
Because that's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, no, because I knew, first of all, I went to like one of the most like ghetto public schools in Orlando.
Oh my gosh.
Is so they say. But I knew I was there. I knew going into it like what I was led to do. But that's because I had a great community outside of my school.
A firm foundation to,
yeah,
lean on.
If I didn't have, I will say, if I didn't have that community, maybe I would have like mess around in the sense of like, oh, let me go, this person invited me to this, let me go check it out.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I was always scared of like my mom and stuff. So that's why I did it. But I think the community helped that, because yeah, I was involved in church. I was leading worship. That's when I started leading worship, was when I was in high school. So when I started doing that, it kind of kept me rooted. So when I went into school, I was kind of like, okay, stay by myself.
I get that.
So
no, that's, yeah, cool. I mean, I'm sure like, it doesn't, I'm sure at moments there was doubt, yeah, you know, even in my life. Like, I can't relate to that. I went to a small private school in high school.
Yeah.
Middle school, I did go to public school. But, you know, for me, my season of life didn't hit because of me going to a small private school, somewhat being protected from the world. Still knew a lot of things going on in the world, played travel basketball. So I had a bunch of teammates. Like you said, we're kind of doing the opposite thing, and I kind of just stayed to myself. But my thing didn't happen until I reached college because of, you know, I branched out and I went to somewhere I didn't know, and it was super lonely. Mm-hmm. Started seeing people doing other things. And like you said, you kind of start to begin to be called the Jesus freak. Yep. And for me, on myself, freshman of college, I was used to, you know, being a small private school, I was used to being the popular kid and, you know, the one that was loud. I was the loud one, still can be loud today. But then going to college where you're not the most popular and you're not, you know, I put college basketball, so I wasn't the best on my team at that moment. And for me, it was just like when I got called Jesus freak because I wasn't the most popular, it wasn't the most popular thing. I, at that season of life, I backed down and I was like, I don't want to be called this. And, you know, God had to really just show himself to me, show his faithfulness, got in a relationship, which, you know, wasn't the best at the end of the relationship. And God brought me through tough seasons, just like he brought Joseph through tough seasons, just like he could bring you through tough seasons. Yeah. But it's about knowing who God is. And overall, even though for me at that moment, it wasn't the most popular thing, I still knew who God was. I still knew that he was all in control. And when you are just faithful, you know, he's going to show himself. And in the last year and a half, my faith journey has really just grown. And I've seen God grow my faith journey more than ever. And I think about Joseph, like there was obviously times that probably aren't, you know, written down in scripture that he was just sitting in jail and he's like, I don't want to do this anymore, God. I'm mad at you. I don't believe.
Yeah.
But overall, he still knew that God was in control. He was in power and he was still faithful. And, you know, it's hard to be faithful in those moments where it doesn't want, you don't want to be faithful and you just want to give up. But knowing that God is in control and knowing that God has purpose in our chaos, God can use you in your chaos. You know, God still writes purpose through your chaos. He can use your story to reach other people. He can use your story for you to grow. And I love, I kind of put this, you were born on purpose and for a purpose. And I'll say that again. You were born on purpose and you were born for a purpose.
Yeah.
And when you think like that and when you realize that God has a purpose for your life, no matter how hard the seasons will be, no matter what is thrown at you, entertainment wise, you know, music wise, friend wise, even in classes now, they're pushing an agenda of like, it's okay to be same sex marriage and it's okay that you kill your baby. That's not what we follow. That's not when we read in scriptures. God tells us to live a different way. And so for us, when that's all being thrown on and it can feel heavy, it can feel chaotic, what is going on in the world? No, God, you were born for a purpose. You were born on purpose for a purpose. And when you understand that and you understand to look to God and not the culture for your identity, when there's this culture identity and social media is telling you one thing to live your life like this way, but you're supposed to live your life like, you know, what the Bible says, you know, you start to grow your faith. You start to, you become more wise in your faith. You become, you're like an expertise. You start to learn. And that's where for me, you know, all through this crazy season of life, I was just like, God's still in control. Joseph's story, God is still in control. And he's going to use you through no matter what chaotic season you're in. If it's chaotically good, sometimes it's chaotically good. Sometimes just a lot of good things are happening. And then there's some seasons where students are like, this is a really bad season of life.
Yeah.
And it's just how you can be faithful, how you can find purpose in that chaotic world, and just to look to God and not to, you know, culture for your identity.
Mm.
So
that's good.
I kind of want to ask like a, you know, one quick question before we kind of end this episode out is, let's like, how do you see God using chaotic events to reveal himself today? So like, you know, there's a lot of things going on today.
Yeah.
You know, you got movies like Sinners that just dropped. That's number one on the charts.
Crazy.
You got like Doja Cat posting music and she's a demonic figure on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you even got, you know, chaotic events in our world. You know, there's a bunch of wars going on. For me, I've never experienced a war until the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so like, I know like that can be scary sometimes. So how can you see it, your agenda's pushing something, agenda's pushing darker. It feels like the world is becoming darker. Feels like everybody's not believing in the same things that I'm believing, but how can God, you know, be seen in these chaotic events? How can he reveal himself?
Yeah. I mean, I think it goes back to the real people, real place, real time. Yeah. We are real people in a real place in a real time. And it's all in how are we going to use God, like use the words of God to guide that and direct that.
Yeah.
Like these stories that we read. I mean, we say stories, but they're real people's stories. And so it's like, how are we going to use, like, learn from history? How are we going to learn from this and move forward? How are we going to take what's happening today and move forward? We see political things happening. We see wars breaking out. We see people with personal struggles and all that. But it's how can we shine a light on that versus just hiding and not even addressing it?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, that's good. I think also to see where, you know, where you, when you see darkness, see that there's still light. And I think that God's doing crazy things in today's culture. I think that God's being seen more than ever in today's culture, because I think entertainment wants to push one thing, but the realness is that God is here and he's alive. If you look at, you know, the revivals that are breaking out in high school campuses and college campuses of people coming to know Christ more and more, there's like a 4%, it went from 60% to 64% of, you know, just people, students, young adults believing in God in the last 5 years. That's huge. Mm-hmm. When we were on a declining fall of Christianity, and there's all these articles like Christianity is dying, it's not.
Yeah.
And it's actually rising, and you have to see those, you got to see the things in the light and not let the darkness take over, because we believe in light and not darkness.
Yeah. The coolest thing is, we always say like this generation has a lot that they're going through. They're living in a chaotic world, but this generation is slowly becoming the loud majority. But
Amen. You
just have to be, you have to be faithful. I've seen it. I mean, it's been cool. We've seen it with the students here. It's like they're getting fired up and they're honestly at this point like, okay, what in the heck is happening in this world? Like this cannot be what life has to offer. Like, no, it's not. God has so much more, and it's okay, well, how am I gonna change what's happening?
Yeah.
And so it's all in this generation. They got to be the loud they have to be the loud majority and let the loud minority kind of fizzle out, because once we're all proclaiming and shouting, and I'm not saying like like, you know what I'm talking about, like not being crazy about it, but it's like showing your truth, how you live your life, how you speak to people, how you care for people. That's how you show who Jesus is. So when you're doing all that, your actions speak louder than words. So this loud minority is just talking, but your actions speak louder. So when you act the way that Jesus acts, cares the way that Jesus acts, love the way that he did, then that shows, then you become the loud majority.
That's so good. I kind of want to like leave off with like just an encouragement for any students that are watching. I think I've seen it more being in student ministry this last year than ever, but there is a rising, and there's a rising of hunger. There's a fire under these students, you know, stomach sense is that, you know, they're standing firm in their faith more than ever, more than we did as, you know, students. And it's just so beautiful to see, you know, from the last year of like 70 people at Timber Creek being out in front of their, you know, pole at CU at the pole praying. We have examples of, at least in our ministry, where students are leading other students to Christ. You have students standing firm on sports fields, writing verses, praying. You guys are being unashamed. And so for my encouragement for you guys that are watching and listening is just to keep going. To find godly community, to find your purpose in this chaotic world, but to stay true to the word, to stay faithful, and, you know, just to keep on running the race strong. And no matter how hard that race might be, how hard the seasons of life may be, that you can always remember that God's word is true, that it will bring life into you, and that you will develop great fruits. And if you stay true to that, you're going to be able to keep on running the race no matter what is thrown at you. So that's my encouragement to you. I don't know if you want to encourage any students just as we end.
I mean, like he said, we just basically reiterating what you said, but I'll just say this, be the loud majority.
Yeah.
Like, just do it. Don't be afraid of it. literally, what's the worst that can happen? What, somebody's going to say something? And I wish I took this advice when I was in high school, but what's the worst that's going to happen? Somebody's going to say something. Okay, you know how many things people said to Jesus, did to Jesus, and he still was like, no, I'm proclaiming. I'm here for a purpose. This is what I'm doing. Little do you know, I'm saving you from sin.
And now he's the most famous person in world history.
Exactly.
Everybody, exactly. At least, they might not believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
But they know who Jesus
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, just be the loud majority. Don't let the loud minority take over. Keep living like Jesus.
No, I love that. Listen, I want to thank you guys for listening, for joining. But before we end, I want to tease, be ready on the next episode. We're coming in hot. We have our special guest, Kaden Grandstaff.
Yep.
My sister, who I love so much. She'll be on this next episode. But before we end, listen, we're just starting. And so we need your help. We want to reach other students. We want to reach people in our communities. So share this. Share this through DMs. Share this on YouTube. Share the link. First, we need you to like, subscribe, and comment. Subscribe to our Spotify's. Subscribe to our iTunes, YouTube channel that's popping out, because we want to keep on building this and continue to keep on growing this. We want to bring in special guests to speak life into you guys. Mm-hmm. And so that can only happen if it starts with you guys helping us.
Yeah.
We can only do so much to grow this. Let's grow this community. Let's grow this podcast. And I'm super excited to see what God does for this.
Yeah. And remember, what you do in life echoes for eternity.
So we'll see you guys on the next episode. Thank you for listening.